Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Food for Your Soul. We are your hosts, Pastor and Evangelist White. Please go with us to the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, O gracious Lord, here we are again coming before you, as humble as we know how, thanking you for a time such as now. God, I want to say thank you for speaking to your servants and giving us fresh manna from heaven. I ask God for each and every person that is tuned in. You minister to their hearts and meet them right where they are. And they make a choice today that they're going to surrender and go all the way with you. We give you all the glory and honor that is due unto your holy name. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Good morning, good people. Good morning, Pastor White.
Good morning. How you doing?
I am blessed, sir. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, doing pretty good.
Amen. Great topic for today, huh?
Amen.
Yes. So today's topic is get right or get left. Sounds like a warning, yeah, Pastor? Yes, yes, yes. I believe the rapture is the next event on God's prophetic timetable. I personally believe that God is a loving God, and he is also a God of wrath. And he is still striving with rebellious mankind. He's calling, he's convicting, he's convincing, he's saving sinners. But there comes a day very soon, and I mean sooner than we are aware, that God's patience will give way to God's wrath. And there will be a storm of God's judgment poured down upon the world, which has rejected Christ. It will be a judgment so terrible and so severe, so beyond comprehension, that God will not allow his church to go through it.
Amen. I totally agree with you. It's a time and a day that we have to live where we have to be totally focused on God. I think a lot of times we're going to, when you talk about get right or get left, we're talking about watching,
yes,
praying,
come on,
and also making sure that we stay focused on what God says.
That's right.
Not what man says.
Yes.
There is a focus and there is a understanding that you have to fight for.
Yes.
You know, I come to believe, Evangelist, that people think heaven is something that is given to you.
Come on, Pastor.
You got to fight for heaven.
That's right.
Heaven is not something that is just going to happen.
That's right.
Because you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, but you did not believe in your heart.
Amen.
You did not go the extra mile.
Yes. And before you finish, let me piggyback off that, because I had just said, if you are a Christian and not living for God, there will be no time to make it right. Your salvation is secure, but you will be ashamed when he comes, right? You won't be able to ask him, wait, God, I want to win a soul for you. My brother, my father, my spouse, my kids, my friends, my neighbor, my coworker. Wait, Lord, I want to obey you and be a tither. I got bitterness in my heart towards someone. Wait, I'm looking at porn right now. Let me turn it off. Hold on. No, get right now or get left. So when you were saying about having to fight for heaven, you are absolutely right. The problem with so many is they think that there's not a fight. It's almost like people are just walking, going through life and just existing but not living, not understanding that the time is drawing now, you know, more near than anyway. God always gives a warning before destruction. You know, one of the scriptures he gave me was Revelation 1 and 19. It says, write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Our world has just about reached the limit of God's mercy and his forbearance. Man's pride and arrogance, his greed, his selfishness, his violence, his brutality has reached a high level which is intolerable. The suffering of millions caused by man's inhumanity to man is appalling to those watching this drama of earth. I think about, Pastor, how we know the word, yet we don't apply the word. And that's why it says, do not just be a hearer, but be a doer of my word, too. And so many are thinking that they're going to get it in because I'm a good person. I have a good heart. I feed the hungry. But we were never obedient to the word of God. We never really lined up and did what he told us to do.
Amen. And you know, and the bottom line is that we never really had a true personal relationship with Jesus. We never really have. You got a lot of folks that are going to church, but going to church don't mean that you're going to heaven.
All right.
You know, you got a lot of folks in church, but they are not in God.
Help.
They
help.
Do
Come
not
on.
Have a personal relationship
yes.
with God.
Yes.
I'm thinking about the Apostle Paul when he said in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter in the 6th verse, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered."
Whew.
And he said, "The time of my departure is at hand." And look at what he says in 7. He said, "I have fought
yes.
a good fight.
That's right.
I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing."
That's right.
And you was talking about the rapture.
Yes.
You know, the next event that is going to take place.
Yes.
And we are not focused, and that's what Jesus said in the last days.
Yes.
And he told us about the things that is going to happen before his appearing or before his reappearing,
That's
before
right.
he comes back. He told us about the conditions of the world. He told us what to do. He said,
right.
watch and pray.
That's
and
right.
he did say that it's going to be just like in the days of Noah.
Yes, and you know, ooh, Pastor, I was just going to talk about that where God was giving the warning. He had already given it to Noah. And Noah spent 120 years warning the people. He was trying to prepare them. He was preaching this word, trying to warn them of what was going to happen. But none, not one, but none would listen. They mocked, they ridiculed, they gave the warning. He gave the warning that rain would fall to such an extent that the whole world would be flooded. They laughed and insulted and constructed the ark, which carried him and his family safely through the flood. The people would not believe Noah because it had never rained on the earth before. Rain was an utter impossibility, they said, and the people continued the evil and violence until God actually came. You know, I was thinking about the Hurricane Matthew. I was thinking about, Pastor, why people do not take heed to warning. I said, God, why does man ignore warning? Everybody has their own level of acceptable or target risk. If they personally perceive that threats are lower than their target risk, then they will take additional risk in order to gain the benefits and rewards from doing so. For me, it is because we are automatically hard-headed, and until you actually have submitted unto God, you will never take heed to the warnings around you, and for many, it will end in death, like it did with Hurricane Matthew. They got on the news, they got on the television, they went to the people, they said evacuate, they said, you know, embrace yourself. People don't want to listen. And then at the last minute, you got all these people trying to call in 911, and we need help, and they're like, oh, no, I can't do it. I can't do it now for you. It's too late. That's the problem. We never take heed to the warnings. Just like when we talk about the rapture and God coming back soon, so many people say, oh, well, my grandma used to say that and my grandma's mother used to say that, and he's coming back sooner than we think. And I can tell just by the seasons, Pastor. The seasons ain't even the same, and I'm talking about in the natural. And you can look at how the world is going. Let's just for a minute just throw that out there. Look at who we got going up for president, and I'm going to leave that right there. God is coming back sooner than we think, and we are sitting back, and we are laughing, and we are teaching people how to get an education and get a good job and get a good house, and everything is tangible and everything is material, but we're never preparing the people for the rapture. We're never preparing people for the afterlife, and so everybody is just dealing with the right now, but they're not dealing with what is to come. People got their calendar prepared for 2020. You better pray that there's going to be a 2020.
And I think that you're absolutely right, Evangelist, and I think that when we talk about a focus and we are talking about making sure that we're right so that we don't get left,
yeah.
and we're talking about the appearing of God, well, that is when it's time for you to meet your maker. You know, do you have so many things going on in your life where you're not focused on maybe this might be the day? Today might be the day that you have to meet Jesus. And we are so caught up, you understand, and what we got going on in the world. That's why he was saying in the days of Noah, it's going to be that same way. We're not focusing. We got so much things going on in this world, but that we are not ready or prepared for the next world. We are not focused on heaven. You understand? We want to make sure that, you know, that we around for our grandkids. And we want to make sure, you know, that we put up some savings so that we can go on that nice vacation. We want to be able to make sure that we can do the things that's focused on this world. And Jesus might be saying, you know what? Today is the day that your soul is required. Are you ready? Are you watching? Are you focused? There's so much stuff going on that we are not prepared to see Jesus.
And you know what, Pastor? I love what you just said because we are prepared for everything else, right? We want to have the finest cars. We want to have the biggest bank accounts. We get all these name brand clothes and make somebody else rich. But at the end of the day, Pastor, all of our coffins are the same size. And that's where people don't look at. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Nobody is without excuse. And I loved how God says if you are a Christian and not living for God, there won't be a time your salvation is secure. See, so we can profess this with our lips and say, I believe God to be my Lord and Savior, believe that he died on the cross. We can say all that, but live it. Who are we witnessing to, Pastor? I mean, who are we really witnessing to? We got people in our own household that are going to hell, that live under the same roof with us, that we've not shared the gospel with. People are watching us sometimes because we are the only Bible that people will ever read. And is your Bible reading God correctly? Are we really being that of God that we're supposed to be? And so the rapture is a prophetic that is about to happen and come. It is God is saying that I just believe that God is in heaven looking down like he did in the times of Noah. And man has gotten into that same place. And bless God for Jesus that came and delivered us and died on Calvary for us. And we still, Pastor, didn't get a hold of it because we took God still out of everything. And what's done happen is we've made a mockery out of God. But when something like 911 happens and Hurricane Matthew, we want to call on God. But when things are going good, we forget about God. And then we want to get back to a place where we try to say, God, remember your handmaid servant. And I am reminded in the book of Matthew where God said, get away from me, you workers of iniquity, that we were far off from him. But we spoke about, didn't we prophesy in our name and cast out in your name? Did you? That was a question. Didn't we? Did you really do it in the name of God, or did you do it in the name of yourself?
And I'm glad you brought that up because I was just going there. I was going there to that scripture in Matthew and 24. And when he says in 45, the 45th verse, he says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? He said, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say where in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrite. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what's going to happen in that day. Are we so caught up in the things of this world that we think that the day of the Lord is being delayed? So our focus has to always be that, you know what, that I'm not going to be left. I'm going to stay focused, and I'm going to make sure that I hear what the Lord is saying. The Bible says that we are not to put confidence or trust in man, but you a man. Sometimes the fight and the struggle is what's going on in our own mind. Sometimes it's in the way that we think.
Yeah.
And sometimes we, you know, it's easy to be everyone else is saying. But what about your thinking? Because as a man thinketh in his heed, if there's something going on in you that is blocking the word of God, that is blocking you from hearing what thus saith the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when Paul was talking about he has fought the fight, he has fought that good fight of faith. You understand? You have to be able, this fight is a struggle that is going on within you.
And, you know, I was thinking about, thank you, Holy Ghost, when you gave me that, I want to go real quick to, I believe it's Romans, where it's Romans 7, the struggle of two natures. It says, Romans 7 and 15, for that which I do, I allow not, for what I would that I do not, but what I hate that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that in I would do good, evil is present with me. I think about how you were saying how it's on the inside. We have an inward struggle that's going on. And I would love, Pastor, to preach about you going to get a Mercedes and you going to get a house and oh, my God, this is going to happen and money's going to flow. But no, I got to preach that heaven and hell is real and your soul is at stake and we better get right or you are going to get left behind. We all saw the movie. And my thing is oftentimes we think we're doing things right. We're doing them right according to us. But if they don't line up with the word of God, then we're just doing them in vain.
You're absolutely right. But what we're saying and what I believe what God has given you in this topic is that if you're not right,
come on,
you're going to be left. But at the end of the day, you can't blame nobody but yourself.
That's right.
But if you are not right,
come on, Pastor.
See, I got to do everything that I can do, evangelist, to make sure that I am right.
That's right.
You know, before I can go and preach about a beam in someone
come
else's eye, I have to make sure that I don't have a telephone pole sticking out my own eye. I have to make sure that I am right because I don't want to get left. So that tells me that this becomes a personal struggle. This becomes a personal fight that I have to make sure that I get to heaven. You know, I love everybody. I love you. I want to see you make it. But I have to make sure that I am lining up with what God says. Well, Pastor, why you say that? Because in Matthew 7, Jesus said, in the 13th verse, he said, enter ye into the straight gate.
Yes.
He said, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. You see, the destruction, the gate of destruction looks real good to the eye. It is those things, amen, that we don't go the extra mile to ensure that this is God's will. But because we are so hungry in our flesh, you see, on that gate or on that way to destruction, it looks good to the eye.
Yes.
That's what happened to Eve.
Yes.
You understand? You have to fight. This is a struggle to stay on the straight and narrow, but the struggle is what is going on inside of you. But straight is the way which leadeth on where? To righteousness. And that's where I'm going. I need to go on the straight. And I had to do an exegesis of the word straight. Can I take a moment to hit that? The word straight in the Greek, S-T-R-A-I-T, it means narrow. But figuratively, it is the closely defined path that God ordains to travel on to gain his approval.
My God.
It is the closely defined path that God ordains to travel on to gain his approval.
And you know, Pastor, I'm thinking about, I'm trying to get in my mind about this road that is so narrow that we have to travel. That's why God is telling us that there has to come a time when you have to make a choice. So sometimes you got to let go of mama. You got to let go of daddy. You got to let go of children. You got to let go of family. You got to let go of friends. You got to let go of self. If you're going to walk this the way God is telling you, and it's not to say that eventually you might not get back up with everything, but initially you have to make it and know that this is an individual walk. As much as I love you, Pastor White, I know that when I have to go for judgment, you can't stand and intercede for me. I have to go before God for myself. I have to go before God for the things that I have done. Hey, Kantasaya, I got to go before him. And so as much as you are my husband and you were there, you got to go before yourself as well. And so we got to make sure that we are doing this thing for ourselves so that we can help somebody else. But the problem is, some of us are so quick to show everybody else what they're doing wrong. And while we're trying to fix everybody else, we forgot about ourselves in the process.
Amen. But you know what stuck out to me, Evangelist, that closely defined.
Yeah.
This is something in which, in order for you to get closely defined, you got to get close with God.
All right.
You got to get close with God because there's something that he knows about you that you don't know about yourself. And once he begins to open up that part of you, that closely defined thing. You know the DNA part.
Yes.
You know, there's a DNA that's different from everybody else, but when you take somebody's DNA, you can match it pretty much 100% to them.
Yes.
There is something that God has in his word that is so closely defined that defines who you are, that once you hear that, there's no snatching him or snatching you out of his hand. There's nothing that no one, and see, a lot of folks has not touched closely defined. You understand?
Yes.
They're walking all over the place, but that thing that hits who they are, that gives them the purpose of why they are here, that makes them walk the way they walk. You know, and you can laugh at the way I walk, but it's closely defined. You see what I'm saying? Because God has touched something in me that nobody else can touch. He has defined something on the inside of me that opened up something.
Yes.
That's why the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword,
yes,
piercing even to the dividing of and asunder of the soul and spirit, the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. Oh, I'm preaching right now. You understand what I'm saying? So when that word breaks through all of that mess, it breaks through all of that flesh, and it hits the hidden part, that hidden treasure that the Bible talks about that we have in earthen vessels. And when that has been touched by the word of God, and the word of God defines who you truly are, it opens up something, praise the Lord, that gives you a focus that no matter what goes on in the world, there's nothing too great that is going to take me out of the will of God or cause me not to focus on what my purpose is.
Yes, Pastor, oh my God. And as you were talking, I heard God say, warn the pastors. Pastors, if y'all are tuned in, God is telling me to warn you. He said, woe be unto us. We have to be so very careful. They're not your members, and they are not your sheep. They are God's. And we got to make sure that we are doing this thing according to the word of God so that they can follow and line up and so that they can follow God. We got to remind ourselves that if God has given us a vision, it is the vision for him that he gets glorified. We don't want to get left. We want to be right. I want to be right, Pastor, in everything I do. That's why for me, for some, it's hard, but for me, it's not. I have family that I love dearly, but I have no problems letting you go because I am not going to allow anyone or anything to make me miss heaven. I got friends that I had to let go of 30-something years. You know who you are, because I will not allow nothing or no one to allow me to miss heaven. I have things that I had to, you know, when my mother died, that was hard, Pastor. I'm talking about internally. That was hard to deal. But I can think about now what this is saying, get right or get left. We all one day. God knows the timing for everybody. And just like my mama, so many of us think we got more time than what we really do. When you look back your life, it should not look and say, I left a will, I left money, I did this for the children. What did you do for God? When you look your life over, Did you really live for God like you were supposed to? Were you really obedient to his word? Did you really do what he said? Did you really witness? Did you minister? Did you really live this word? Did you compromise God at any given time?
Amen. And you know, as you was talking, I thought about I keep finding myself at Matthew 7. I'm just stuck in there, you know.
Ooh.
And what he says in 15.
All right.
Beware of false prophets.
Come on.
Which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly
they are raven wolves. My Lord.
And you shall know them by their fruit.
Come on.
And then I like what he says in 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, this is Jesus speaking, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
My Lord.
See, inwardly. See, we have a lot of false prophets right within inside of us.
Okay, now.
You see what I'm saying? You got to first deal with the false prophet that is within you.
Jesus.
And the reason why I said that, because the Bible declares that we have all been born in sin and chastened in iniquity. All of us.
Everybody.
Has had a false prophet that made us believe that we're something that we're not.
That's right.
Or have misguided us in our what thinking.
Mercy, Lord.
You understand?
Yes.
So you have to first make sure that's the struggle that Paul was talking about in Romans 7 that you was talking about.
Yes.
You have to make sure that what you are hearing is the word of God. And you have to make sure that your mind, that your will is not getting in the way of the will of God. Because your will can be the false prophet. It could be the false prophet that's talking about that is that inward wolf.
And you know what, Pastor? I think...
We quick to deal with the false prophets out there.
Come on, but we don't deal with the ones inside.
But you don't deal with your own false prophet.
All right. And not only not dealing with your own false prophet, we don't take the time to do a spiritual inventory to see if that in which we are preaching to everybody else, we are truly living for ourselves.
Right.
It's so easy for us to say, I can preach better than I can do this better, my church, this is what I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. But are we living it? There is a difference between being busy for God and doing the things of God. And we sometimes get the two mixed up. And I believe you preached a while back on busy. What was that busy stand for, Pastor? Being under Satan's yoke.
Yes.
And that's what a lot of us are. We busy, but we also busybodies because we're looking at everybody but ourselves. There has to come a time, and I pray that it is today, that you surrender your will and your way and your thinking. You have to surrender it over to God. You got to get right or you gonna get left. And it is time. I pray that this word that God has given us has touched someone out there. I pray that God has given you another opportunity, whatever there was a wrong, that you were able to make it right. I thank God that I won't compromise the word, but when you have a significant other, a husband, a man of God that won't compromise either, I'm telling you, life is just that much sweeter. We won't compromise the word of God. For God we live, and for God we will die. If you are in need of fellowship, if you would like to come out and join us at our church, please feel free to do so tomorrow at Living Upon the Rock Church. We are located at 433 Kitty Hawk Road, Suite 1113 in Universal City, 78148. You will find the presence of God. You will be loved, and you will be fed the word of God. If nobody else tells you today, God loves you, and so do we. I am your host, Evangelist White.
And I'm Pastor White.
And we are signing out. God bless.